The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey there, classmates. Tune in to Middle Class Film Class every Monday and Wednesday for weekly movie news, streaming picks, and one deep dive review.
The Batman trailer. There was a teaser. There was a trailer. Trailer 1, trailer 2, final trailer. I don't know if it's the same one. How many trailers do we need?
Exactly.
Leave an email or a voicemail to join in the discussion.
Bullshit artist!
Yeah, buddy.
All right. You're going full Danzig.
Right, I am. My trans gear
has no power over me.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 416. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, yesterday was Valentine's Day, and I kind of knew that I wanted to kind of do something a little bit different for this episode, and I thought to myself, well, let's make it thematic, all right? Let's talk about Valentine's Day or some topic that goes along with Valentine's Day. And so I was talking to my guest, who I'll talk about in a minute here, and we were just kicking around ideas, and he suggested maybe he make a return, as he's been a guest before, and we could talk about rom-coms, since it is Valentine's Day week. And, you know, I'm man enough to admit I have a few that I enjoy, as I know the stereotype with that genre, but I have a few that I enjoy, and I know he has a few that he enjoys. And so you're going to hear Justin Corleone and myself share our thoughts on our favorite rom-coms. And of course, Justin, a key member of the Three Geeks podcast, which you could check their show out every Saturday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. They are live through their Facebook page, their YouTube channel, their Twitch, et cetera, et cetera. Just look for Three Geeks Podcast. And so Justin is coming on to share his thoughts. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I want to see what he thinks is a great rom-com. And I'm sure that he's interested to see my list as well, because we haven't shared those yet. We saved it for the cast, as we say in the biz. I really don't know if they say that in the biz. That sounded good in my head. So, all right. And just want to thank you all for checking out the episode. And also want to thank, of course, World's Greatest Comics. They've been a great sponsor. And so with that being said, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Justin Corleone talking about our favorite rom-coms. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned in the intro, I'm joined by one member of the Three Geeks podcast, Justin Corleone. How you doing, Justin?
Doing well, man. Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. We just saw each other this weekend because you are the producer of Matt Talk.
Sure. Yeah.
A job that I know you could not wait to get.
Listen, I love helping out, and you guys are doing real well, so it's all good. It's a lot of
okay.
fun.
Okay. Well, so it's Valentine's Day was yesterday. This is Thursday when this episode drops. And so I thought we'd do something a little bit different. We'd talk about movies once again, but this time talk about romantic comedies. Before we do that, what's your thoughts on Valentine's Day?
Quick thoughts as a single man. I think it's a Hallmark holiday. Hopefully you're showing your significant other love and appreciation throughout the year, not just on a specific day. But I don't put much stock into Valentine's Day. Even while I was in a relationship, I didn't put a lot of stock into it. But all the people I've been with have also had a differing opinion, so we celebrated it quite heavily. So, I don't know. I'm okay with Valentine's Day. What about you, John?
I agree with you. I think it's a Hallmark holiday. I don't really think it's that significant because I agree with your theory as well. You mean you should just on one day show your appreciation, your respect, your love, your admiration. Yeah, that's hokey. That's BS. But you did point out something that I don't know. Maybe the listeners can let me know when this last happened. But Valentine's Day falls on Ash Wednesday.
Yep. Today's Fat Tuesday. Tomorrow's Ash Wednesday.
Yeah. Is that confusing, I wonder, for people? Because they're like, oh, you know, I bought some naughty lingerie and we're going to get busy tonight. But yeah, it's Ash Wednesday. Maybe I should not. You know, like, I don't know.
I'm Googling it to make sure I'm not crazy, but I'm pretty sure if you're Catholic, Ash Wednesday is a fasting holiday. So there's a subset of the population that should not be eating tomorrow either. So enjoy your Valentine's Day. Like, if you're, I don't know if other Christian sects have fasting on Ash Wednesday, but I do know that if you're Catholic, you're generally supposed to fast. So enjoy your Valentine's Day meal, I guess, of nothing.
Yeah, all that candy you bought, boyfriend.
That's right.
She's gotta wait. She's gotta wait a while to eat. Yeah. Way to go. Way to go, dumbass.
Or she'll eat it in front of you. She's not Catholic. Just like,
right.
Sucks to suck, I guess.
How many arguments you think start on Valentine's Day tomorrow, or yesterday? You know, I can't eat, I'm fasting, right? But I bought you some chocolates. Oh, like right in front.
Yeah.
You bitch, you know I can't eat.
Well, it probably brings to the forefront of like, hey, if this relationship is going to continue, do we need to talk about our religion? So you get to have that fun conversation over your Valentine's Day dinner too. How many breakups is Ash Wednesday going to cause tomorrow? We'll never know.
I want the Pope to address this situation.
Listen, y'all. I get it. Jesus gets it. Have a sandwich. Godspeed. Like, eat some chocolate with your wife. I don't know.
Yeah, you know. Well, with that, let's go ahead. Let's start talking about our, we said top three rom-coms. Justin, do you prescribe to the theory that, you know, we as men are not supposed to like rom-coms? Because I think that stereotype still exists to an extent. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree. Yeah, I disagree. I think like what you like. If you like, if it's a good movie, it's a good movie regardless of the genre it is in. Now, if it's pandering, I think a lot of romances and romance movies and genres, regardless of comedy or otherwise, can be kind of pandering towards either a gender or a certain segment of a market that I generally don't like, just because it's like you're going over the top with a certain thing, whatever that thing is. Like you're leaning too far to the right or left of the topic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I get it. I think I agree with you. As long as it's a good story, and I know the Hallmark Channel movies are kind of the same movie over and over again. That's why I don't like them. I think if they were different, I would probably give them a little more of my time and effort to watch them.
We should have grabbed Jason for this. Like, happy to still be a part of this, but rom-coms and Jason are like this.
I know.
He probably has a very strong opinion around men and rom-coms.
He probably also would want to do a top 10 list, and I'm like, dude, I don't
know. Oh, at least a top 100. He'll just have the Hallmark movie list. Just like this. All of this.
All of the Hallmark movies. Yeah. And then, yeah.
Does so Mark, I'm in.
It ends in Mark. If it starts with Hall and ends with Mark, I'm in.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Please. Let's not beat around the bush here.
That's right. All right. Well, let's get started here. What checks in at number three for you?
Number three, mentioning of men enjoying rom-coms, The Proposal. This is something that it's Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds. And I love this movie, not necessarily for the movie, but for the fact that I live in the middle of nowhere when I was growing up, northern Indiana. There was not a lot going on. So a buddy of mine, Wes, and I were like, we should go see a movie. Literally the only movie out was The Proposal. So him and I look at each other like, I guess we're going to go on a date. And we went and just sat and watched The Proposal. I loved the movie. Very funny. I enjoyed it a lot. It just more of the experience of us just hanging out in the movie theater together. It's just a very fun memory of mine because it was just so funny to us as what? I think we were 20 at the time, like maybe 19. I don't know.
Were you the only ones in the theater, or was there more people?
No, there was actually. We were not the only pair. We were not the only dudes in the theater that went without like any like sitting there. There was like a subset of like high school boys behind us, and I died laughing. It was so much fun to hang out with them while watching The Proposal. It just not an eclectic group of people. There were people on dates with their significant others, but there was definitely a good portion of the theater that was just a bunch of dudes watching Ryan Reynolds try to date Sandra Bullock, and it was fun.
I have only seen part of that movie. I've not watched it start to finish. The parts that I saw, I enjoyed. Of course, I like Ryan Reynolds. He definitely is got a good sense of humor and parlays that into most of his comedic roles. So, as a total side note, I still haven't watched the trailer for Deadpool 3. Have you?
Yeah, well, I watched the Super Bowl, so I saw I saw the Super Bowl version of it. I think there's more to it.
Okay. All right. I have not yet to do that. We just started talking about Ryan Reynolds. I'm like, hot damn, I haven't done that. I was in bed at overtime. I'm like, yeah, no, I got to get up at 5 in the morning. I'm going to bed.
So do you have to get up at 5 a.m. in the morning, or is this just like a thing you like to do?
It's a thing that I'm really – that's the kind of the routine.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm not going to crap on your routine if that's what you like to do, but you missed a heck of a game.
No, it was good. I watched up to that, but like I said, at that point, I was like, I think maybe I'm going to head to bed.
The old time hit the old dusty trail.
Yeah. Well, when I yawn 7 times in a row, that's kind of like the red flag of like, either go to bed or you're falling asleep on this couch.
Oh, John.
I know.
I'm not going to sit on your own podcast. Become a 3 Geek so I can call you old real quick.
That's okay. I am an old man. What can I say?
It's all right. I mean, Godspeed. I appreciate anybody that can wake up early. I have a really hard time waking up in general, but waking up early is definitely a struggle for me.
Yeah. Okay. So my number 3 pick is probably going to be an obscure one, but I really like it. In fact, I own it on DVD. She's the One, which is a 1996 film.
Okay.
Starring Edward Burns. He also was the director. Cameron Diaz is in the movie. Jennifer Aniston. John Mahoney from Frasier, who literally steals every scene that he's in. He plays the grumpy father figure to Edward Burns.
Oh, I love – I didn't know who John – I just Googled him. I really do like that guy. He's great. I'm a big fan.
He was fantastic. And it's a story about the two love lives of Mickey and Francis, their brothers. And it kind of gets a little bit weird because Francis ends up cheating on his wife, Jennifer Aniston, with Cameron Diaz, who is the ex-girlfriend of his brothers. So it's kind of a little bit weird there. And Mickey, on the other hand, ends up meeting a stranger. I can't remember the actress's name, but basically, they kind of have a real short courtship, and then it gets married, and it causes all kind of drama for the family. So, cool little film. Really dug it. I like Edward Burns. I really like his stuff. So, and this was the first thing I saw of his. That was before Brothers McMullen or The Sidewalks of New York. And so I really dug it. I liked it a lot.
That's awesome. It's hitting kind of close to home with Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
and by the way, one other thing for She's the One. The score and the soundtrack done by Tom Petty.
Well, that's a win in my book.
Yeah.
Free Falling in Love. This is great.
There you go.
That's fun.
All right. Do you want to give us your second
selection? Yeah. So just for your listeners, I lean more towards comedy than romance for most of my things. But mine is The 40-Year-Old Virgin. I love The 40-Year-Old Virgin. It's so much fun for me. Watching Steve Carell trying to putz his way through a relationship and get a relationship in general, then find the love of his life is a lot of fun.
I'm going to be honest. I was curious about this topic today. So I kind of hit some of those, you know, like IMDb top 100 romantic comedies, blah, 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 right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Every single one of them had The 40-Year-Old Virgin on it.
Yeah. I too did my own due diligence and I was like, you know what? You're right. The 40-Year-Old Virgin is one of the top ones. It's really good. I really enjoy it. If you haven't seen it, please take some time. Watch it Valentine's Day while you're not eating food if you're Catholic. and spend some time.
Catherine Keener is the love interest, correct? I believe that's the actress.
That is, yeah, Catherine Keener. Judd Apatow movie, if you're a fan of Judd Apatow.
Mm-hmm. It was a big movie. It put Steve Carell, like, pushed him up even more on that 100%. Level.
100%. It was like him, I believe, was it him breaking out of The Office for this role? Or was he in The Office? I forget the time.
That's a good question. I don't think The Office was just yet.
Okay, it's 2005. I think The Office had just started.
Yes, I think you're right. I think that The Office had...
Yeah, same year. He had a good year, 2005.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, it was relatively shortly after or during. I thought maybe he had a year in on The Office, but yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
He seems like
a good dude. I've never met the man. I've never really watched a lot of stuff about him, but like he oozes like good dude energy. You know what I mean? I hope that's the truth. But
I can tell you from a story of from work that Ryan Gosling's a pretty nice dude.
Good
in real life. Yeah. Good. So a coworker of mine had a college friend that had moved. One of them moved out to California, mm-hmm. and he tried being a screenwriter, as everybody does, and eventually, you know, read the writing on the wall and decided to become a paramedic. So his wife...
What kind of words are on the wall if he's becoming a paramedic from the screenwriter? People are going to bleed forever? Join the cause? Like, what? Holy cow. What a jump. That's all I'm saying. It's like, hey, I'm going to become a screenwriter. You know, this isn't working out. I'm going to go to paramedic, which is very good, honest living. You're helping people. I love it. It just seems like a hard pivot.
It was a big pivot. Okay. It was. But this friend of my colleagues went to a wedding, mm-hmm. a very fancy wedding. And it was a coworker of his wife. And I don't remember I don't even know if it was told what the wife did, mm-hmm. but this guy got in line for booze and wasn't paying any attention. And Ryan Gosling's in front of him. And he's like dicking around on his phone. He looks up and Ryan Gosling turns around and the guy's like, hey. And Ryan Gosling's, hey, how's it going, man? Good, good. How are you? Awesome. He goes, be better if this line was a little shorter, you know? Yeah, I gotcha. Are you here for the bride or the groom? Well, my wife and the bride. And he's like, oh, that's cool. Well, I hope you have a good time, man. I guess he's like the coolest laid back dude. And I'm like, that's awesome.
That's great. I mean, being at a wedding, it usually puts me in a pretty good mood too. People are getting hitched. It's a good time.
Wait a minute.
What?
People are getting hitched. That puts people in a good mood.
I think so. I think people are naturally in a better disposition at a wedding reception.
Okay. Well, I mean,
unless you're stressed out about it, like I'm sure there's brides that have like been very stressed out. They're probably not having a great time or grooms or the groomsmen. Like there's stressful parts of a wedding, but I don't know. Right, okay. Now, this is Valentine's Day. I have to pivot a little bit. Are you saying that you have never had a good time at a wedding reception?
Oh, no. I've had very good times at wedding receptions, but I've also had a few crappy ones, too. I'm not going to lie.
I need to know the family name of the bride and the groom, and why was it so bad? The Smiths and what?
The Smiths and what?
I'm trying to protect your friends.
Because I feel like in one reception I didn't drink enough to have a good time, and in the other reception I drank too much, and it wasn't a good time.
So all self-inflicted.
Yeah,
had nothing to do with the wedding at all.
Well. At the time, I blame the reception, but in hindsight, I should have been able to manipulate the situation better.
For the record, if you have to drink heavily to enjoy yourself at a reception, it probably wasn't a good reception. Like, hey, I'm gonna need an extra bottle here. This is bad.
Anyways,
oh yeah, so, pivot. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I what can I say? I will share. I was at a reception for somebody that I knew.
Good.
Whose sister was having a baby out of wedlock.
Okay. Blasphemous.
And,
good.
And the reception was at a VFW. and every table got their own bottle of Boone Strawberry Farm.
Listen, that sounds incredible. That sounds like the best time. But at least, I mean, at least they know the audience. You know what I mean? I feel like there's probably a person that sat there and was like, I went to the greatest wedding of all time. They had Boone's Farm on the table, and I saw a baby out of wedlock.
And if you stuck around long enough, there was a fight between one of the gentlemen and the DJ, because the DJ brought his hot girlfriend with him. Why, I don't know. They started arguing, so someone tried to slide in there, and that caused a ruckus.
What'd you do, John? What did you do?
Oh, I wasn't involved in this ruckus whatsoever.
Don't lie to me.
I was not involved in this ruckus.
You can lie to me, but you can't lie to your audience, John.
I'm telling the audience that's listening to this, I can assure you that I had nothing to do with this ruckus.
I had nothing to do with this woman. It was best Bill Clinton.
All right, let's get on to my second pick here. So, anyways, my second one is another film that's maybe a little bit underground as well. It's 2002's Kissing Jessica Stein.
I've never watched that at all. I've watched the other one. I've never seen that one.
I really like it. Jennifer Westfeld, Heather Jurgensen are the two lead actresses. They actually wrote this movie, and it was an off-Broadway play for a few years. And then they fell into the hands of a developer. The thing I remember the most that I loved about it was the backstory, was that the budget was so tight. It was only $1 million, and they couldn't afford shooting permits in New York City. So they had to do a lot of like renegade filmmaking, which
I love stories like that. I really do. Those are fun.
Yeah. Just
trying to figure it out.
Absolutely. And the movie is unique. It's basically Jessica Stein, who is played by Jennifer Westfeld, can't find Mr. Right. She takes out a personal ad, and the personal ad person on the other side really likes what she wrote and responds. And then they go back and forth. And then unbeknownst to Jessica Stein, it's a woman. It's not a man. And so they try out, you know, dating. But eventually she ends up falling for this guy named Josh. And Helen, the other character, goes on to another relationship. So it works out well. It's, by the way, a very early role for John Hamm.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, he had a very, very a shorter role, but it was one of his early ones.
Sweet. So,
I recommend it. I really liked it. I say this, and I'm going to cringe when I say this. It's a cute movie. It's good. I like it.
I'm cringing already.
Yeah, well, I knew you would. So I also own it on DVD.
Is it on the shelf with all your other hated DVDs?
It's on the loved shelf with all the loved DVDs.
I think it's the same shelf.
No, it is not. It is not, sir. Before we go to number one, do you have any honorable mentions?
You know, I sure did. Where's my list? I did have one. So sorry. Oh, Wedding Crashers, because I enjoy just it being fun. I was a little hesitant to say Wedding Crashers as a rom-com, just because it's way more comedy than, same with like Knocked Up. They're more funny than not. The Wedding Singer is probably an actual rom-com that I would recommend for sure. I like Wedding Singer a lot.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because I saw on a couple of those lists, again, as I was doing my due diligence, The Princess Bride, which I'm like, no.
That was my number one, because I think it's rom-com.
Really?
I do. You nailed it.
I'll be damned.
Here's the deal. Okay. The reason why I think it's a rom-com, and you can disagree with me, is the whole thing is a love story, right? The whole, like, the pathway to, because they both were in love basically at the start, right? So it's just like a roundabout way of reconnecting, which is what a lot of these stories already are. It's just like, hey, we liked each other once. Let's come back around. I've changed as a person. I've evolved. Here we are. This one's more violent. It has Andre the Giant in it. And I just wanted it on my list. And I love The Princess Bride.
I love The Princess Bride too. Absolutely love it. I just was like, I think this is more of like a fantasy movie with a little bit of romance.
Totally fair. Yeah, totally fair. I was, to be honest, I was questioning putting it on my list. I was like, if it's going to go on my list, it's going to go number one. But I was definitely questioning it as like, does it fit the category of rom-com?
Okay.
But I leaned into it.
All right. No hate here because it is a solid movie. Absolutely.
I feel like you're hating.
No.
I feel like that's all you're doing, John.
No.
Hot take Orlando.
It is not in the building just yet.
That's for later today. That's Ash Wednesday Orlando.
I have no hot takes on Ash Wednesday, so.
Well, the ashes have to be created somehow.
That's true. Very true. Okay, I had one honorable mention.
Okay.
And I like this film. I saw it in the theaters. Likewise, I also purchased it on DVD. John. The O in Ohio. It was a movie starring Parker Posey, Danny DeVito, Paul Rudd, Misha Barton, if you remember her from the OC.
Sure.
And it's it's kind of an interesting tale. So Paul Rudd and Parker Posey are married, and they just basically can't get along, and their sex is lousy, and Paul Rudd just gets so fed up with it that he is a college professor. I'm pretty sure he's a college professor, and he's like just miserable, and he falls in love with Misha Barton, and okay. in a weird twist of fate, Parker Posey ends up meeting Danny DeVito and starts dating him, and he apparently is a sexual dynamo in the sack. So added to it that it was filmed in Cleveland, and it takes place in Cleveland. So we'll give a little love for that. It was an Ohio flick. So you still can't wrap your mind over cute little Parker Posey dating Danny DeVito, who
it was more than he's a sexual dynamo. Is what kind of it wasn't necessarily a relationship. It was. I never want to think about like Frank Reynolds as a sexual dynamo.
That's the name of the episode. Danny DeVito is a sexual dynamo.
Wayne the Pool Guy, sexual dynamo.
It's the name of the episode, ladies and gentlemen. Anyways. Oh, man. Okay, my number one. And it's also, I have a little footnote to it. My favorite rom-com is Chasing Amy, done by, of course,
Captain. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I like it a lot. I still to this day feel like it's the best Kevin Smith film he made.
It is very good. You're going to laugh. I have this on DVD downstairs. I do have it on DVD. I guess I was on a kick where I wanted to watch all of the Kevin Smith movies, and I'd never seen Chasing Amy. It blew me away how much better it was than a lot of the other ones. Mm-hmm. Like Mallrats took one or two showings before it became my favorite Kevin Smith movie, but like Chasing Amy was good right off the bat. Like it was just good.
Yeah, I saw Clerks. I really like Clerks. I saw Mallrats. I really like Mallrats, but there was a change between Mallrats and Chasing Amy, and I really liked it. I mean, plus, let's be honest, the first 8 minutes of the movie at the Comic-Con is fantastic. I mean, I mean, just the whole dialogue and the what's a Nubian and all of those lines, hilarious. Still to this day, it makes me laugh hysterically. Mm-hmm. And also a great message, a fantastic message in the movie as well. And it had everything. It had great laughs. It had some sorrow to it. Some sadness to it, some, epiphanies. I loved it. So mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Chasing Amy is my favorite.
Yeah, so good. Good choice. Good pull. I didn't think about it. Yeah,
thank you. Cool. I mean, nothing against some of the other ones that are out there.
Against every one of them.
Everything against it? Okay.
Yeah, come on. Let's not front. Like, you had a top list. You had a chance to pick any rom-com you wanted. So shade to the other ones. Do better, other ones. Do better.
Everything against everyone, I feel this should be an homage shirt.
I mean, it's basically me stealing from that one movie, right? Everything and Anywhere All at Once, whatever.
Oh, yeah, anywhere. Right. I forgot about that. All right. So Justin, what's happening with the Three Geeks podcast? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. We just finished up an interview with Halea Jones. That's on the on YouTube right now. You can catch us anywhere. You can listen to podcasts too. We have a couple more interviews coming up. We have a couple, I believe we have a comedian tonight we're going to talk to, so that'll be posted soon. Live shows every Saturday at 7 Eastern. Please come hang out with us. You can find us on Twitch or YouTube for that, or a couple other sites, even X. X is getting into the video game.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. You can stream on, X.
I like how you said in the
video game. Yeah. But
yeah, that's okay.
Video streaming game, I guess.
I did not know that X is doing streaming now.
Yeah. Not to tangent from our self promotion, but Mr. Beast, you're familiar with Mr. Beast, the YouTube guy?
No, I've heard of him, but I couldn't tell
you. Well, he's super hyper successful, probably the most successful creator on YouTube right now. He did a stream on X and he got paid buku bucks to do it. So you can do stuff on X.
Okay. So he's more popular than Logan Paul?
His YouTube presence is. I don't know if he's more popular. I would say so. I mean, okay. He's what? All right. Now I'm curious. What is Mr. Beast? I bought my nephew's like shirt to this. Yeah, he has almost 240 million subscribers.
Mr. Beast. Okay, I'm just looking him up.
I would check him out. He's a young dude, but he's on track to be like a billionaire if he's not.
So okay, ladies and gentlemen, just go with us on this for a moment. Why? Like how? Like I don't get it, Mr. Beast. Like what does he do?
A lot of it's now he just does a bunch of like really high profile games. Like think of like
a game show or is it like
he does a bunch of different challenges. Like one like hold on, put your hand on a car, hold on to that for forever, and you win the car. Or he did one a couple of years ago where like if you were a creator, if you stayed standing in a circle for as long as you can, you get $1 million or some crap like that. And like he kept whittling it down, making the square smaller and smaller to where it could just only one person could fit into it. Like it's all a bunch of challenges and stuff. He's really grasping like the child market. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Squid Games. That was what I was. They did a real life Squid Game.
Okay.
And the winner there won $500,000, it looks like. So he just does a bunch of like challenges, but he's branching out. Like if you go to like a gas station, they sell Mr. Beast chocolate bars and stuff. And they have like Mr. Beast. You could on Uber Eats, there's Mr. Beast stores that you can get restaurants. Like this dude is an entrepreneur if there's ever was an entrepreneur. Like he is a smart guy. This isn't a self-promotion for him, but he's 25 years old and he's done a lot in a very short amount of time. It's really impressive.
Okay. Well, thank you for that lesson because I was like, so he's more like the teen.
I'd say so. Like my nieces and nephews are in that like 10 to 18 range and they all know about him there.
Okay.
I would say he's just, I don't know. He's very popular though. He's a very smart dude. He's on some podcasts for like more adult related people. You know what I mean? Like that's how I saw a lot of him. Like he got interviewed by some comedians I follow. Things like that, but like it is more child based, I think.
I appreciate the information about Mr. Beast. Again, I just never knew. So
yeah, he's not really my cup of tea either. To be frank, I don't really watch his stuff. I think I'm subscribed just out of like general. He seems like he's a good dude in terms of a lot of. He has a whole separate channel dedicated to giving back, like doing like Earth Day stuff, planting trees, cleaning the ocean. He does a lot of stuff with his money with that. So I think it's cool. He seems like a good dude from afar. So whatever.
Okay. Anyways, let's get back to the Three Geeks podcast. We totally took a left turn.
It's all right. Cool. But yeah, yes. Live show Saturdays, 7 p.m. Eastern. Please come chat with us, engage. We post shorts every once in a while. Be on the lookout for those. And interviews, I think once a week, not twice a week. So please keep your eye out for that. Subscribe if you could. But yeah, live shows Saturdays, probably the main way you're going to catch us.
All right. Justin, hey, man, thanks for coming on and sharing your favorite rom-coms.
It was great.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always fun. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. have it, ladies and gentlemen. Justin and I discussing rom-coms and talking about our favorite of that genre. And for this Valentine's Day, I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was something a little bit different, but I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode. And let me tell you where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode, or any episode for that matter. You can find me on Twitter or X. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can drop me a line over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Just look for at PVDcast. And if you'd like to drop me an email, you can do that as well. JohnOrlando at PVDcast.com is the email address. Maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear the PVDcast. Well, there's a bunch of different options for that, including PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, where every episode can be heard, whether it's a current episode or an episode from a few years ago. You can find it at PVDcast.com. Also, this podcast is available through all of those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to your favorite app's search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. Now, I need you to do me a huge favor. I need you, of course, to rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and it's super important. And also, I'm going to ask you to subscribe and also recommend. That's right. Subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast, and recommend it. You know, word of mouth advertising is the best type of advertising. If you've liked what you heard here today, maybe you know somebody that would enjoy this podcast, please let them know. All right. But let me also talk about two other very simple ways that you can hear this show. First off, every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I do a little live Facebook broadcast through the Facebook page. That's also one easy way to hear the latest episode. And of course, I can't forget about being on Croc Radio out of British Columbia. That's right, CROC Radio out of British Columbia. Every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can catch the PVDcast as well. If you like internet radio and you haven't checked out Croc Radio, please do so. They got a lot of great shows going on, and I appreciate the opportunity to be part of the family. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. Once again, thank you so very much for checking out this installment, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.